Back to the mushrooms for just a second. You know, in some stores, you can pick up the dried mushrooms if you're going to use them in cooking. Are they any good for you?
Absolutely. We found in our research at Pennsylvania State University that dried mushrooms have the same bioactive potential as the whole food mushrooms. And we found that there are certain substances in mushrooms that are heat stable. One of the most potent antioxidants in the world is a substance I mentioned earlier called ergothionine, and it's totally heat stable, and your body can't manufacture it. So in the evolution of nature, the mushroom acquired the ability to have ergothionine. So we must eat mushrooms or take them as a powder.
Can you eat a mushroom raw?
Yes, you can. I mean, most people don't like to do that. You know, you slice it up and you put it in salads. But you can eat them raw. As long as they're edible mushrooms, they won't hurt you.
Now, tell me about what's going on in the cure for Alzheimer's disease. And exactly what is this disease?
Well, we've made some major breakthroughs there. Some of them we're going to announce we have an ongoing experiment in Alzheimer's disease. We took at the University of Texas, they made some research breakthroughs in a small organism called the fruit fly. And, in fact, two Nobel Prizes were given out for the fruit fly, I think in 1958, for the sequencing of the genome of the fruit fly. So the fruit fly was the first genome sequenced even before the human genome was sequenced. And then subsequently, once you sequenced the genome, you could create a Parkinson's fruit fly and an Alzheimer's fruit fly. So we took normal fruit flies and we exposed them to paraquat. Which is similar to Agent Orange. It creates free radicals. It creates oxidative stress, similar to what happens in Alzheimer's disease. And it kills the marijuana plant and the poppy plant by creating free radicals in the plant. The plant dies. It does the same thing in your brain. It does the same thing in people. And when we expose the fruit fly for the paraquat, they die quickly, drop dead as flies would do.
Sure.
But we found that mushrooms that had increased vitamin D inside them, vitamin D2, that we increased biologic survival by 30% in a statistically significant study. And so this is the first time that I'm aware in the history of medicine that anyone has increased biologic survival using a whole food. Because of that, we started approximately 2 months ago an Alzheimer experiment. And we created an Alzheimer fruit fly, Drosophila. And by the way, the brain of a fruit fly has 21 to 27 chromosomes that are quite similar to the chromosomes in the brain of a newborn child. So you have quite a homology there.
That's probably why we use the fruit fly in science class all the time.
It's probably one of the best biologic models in human research. That and the zebrafish in cancer. The fruit fly, we can make a fruit fly with juvenile Alzheimer's disease. We can make a fruit fly with Parkinson's disease. We can make a fruit fly Alzheimer's disease. And so we're taking that fruit fly, and we're going to see, and we'll have the results within another 30 to 45 days, and I'd be happy to come back and give you the results and see if we can slow down Alzheimer's disease with whole foods.
All right, let's talk about some other possibilities here with food deficiencies. And in terms of the specific kind of mushrooms again, because I want to hone in on this for just a moment. Got shiitake. What do you recommend?
Okay. You have in the United States, the commercial interest of the United States, and I'm not knocking mushrooms here, but you have the white button, brown button, and portobello. Those are your common mutton mushrooms. They're about 90% of what's consumed in the United States. That's where your commercial interests are, because that's where they make the biggest profits.
Okay.
We're talking about specialty mushrooms. When you mentioned shiitake, maitake, you're talking about exotic specialty mushrooms. And we found when we fingerprint mushrooms, looking at potent antioxidants like polyphenols, beta-glucans, ergo levels, and by the way, organic selenium is made by mushrooms, and organic selenium is involved in prostate cancer, we found that the mushrooms that are the exotic specialty ones are the highest in these levels of antioxidants. So we're talking about a mushroom called reishi from China. We're talking about a mushroom from Tibet called cordyceps. We're talking about a mushroom from Taiwan called antrodia. All of these mushrooms are grown under controlled conditions in the United States, and those are the ones we study. And then when we take the fingerprint, we will look and say, okay, if a person has high blood sugar, what mushroom could lower blood sugar? Well, we know that there was a double-blind study in Japan with a mushroom called Agaricus blazii. So we looked at that mushroom and we looked at the study, and people with diabetes were lowering their insulin dosage when they took Agaricus blazii, and it was statistically significant. So if we want to control blood sugar, we would put Agaricus blazii in the powder, in the pill.
So that's a mushroom I haven't even heard of. How come we're not told these things?
Well, you know, when you're trained in nutrition in medical school, you learn only the word nutrition. You don't really study nutrition. So most physicians in the Western world, you know, we're put into a box as a physician, and we never think outside the box. Well, the ancient wisdom of China and Japan has been out there for thousands of years. I think what we're doing now is we're applying Western medical technology, which is excellent. We have biomarkers. We have some of the best diagnostic equipment in the world, and we're using that with the ancient wisdom of China. So we're taking the best machinery that we have in medicine, and we're studying mushrooms from all over the world.
Let's talk a little bit about diabetes and what this is. Lots of people walking around right now, a doctor, with diabetes 2 or even pre-diabetes. They don't even know it, do they?
No, it's a terrible tragedy. Diabetes will probably overtake cancer and be the worst epidemic in the world in medicine, and probably economically would be most devastating. We can estimate that there are approximately 31 million people who are diabetic in the U.S., and there are approximately an additional 61 or 62 million who are pre-diabetic. That means one out of every four in our population has diabetes or will develop diabetes. And we now know, I'm going to use the word alien again, but I talk about alien fat cells. That means just like cancer cells migrate throughout your body, fat cells migrate throughout your body. And so that's why we think of metabolic syndrome and we say diabetes. Obesity and diabetes are almost synonymous, because when you're overweight, you have so many fat cells and they migrate. And when they go to the liver, they cause an immune reaction. And when your body goes to kill these fat cells with killer cells called macrophages, you create an immune reaction that leads to diabetes and insulin resistance. And there's no question about it. So we need to control insulin resistance, and we find that mushrooms have the ability to increase insulin sensitivity. So we've done studies, as I mentioned, they did one in Japan, we've done it in the United States, where we know that certain mushrooms can increase insulin sensitivity. And when you have diabetes, we can actually show, and doctors are studying this now, the lowering of the need for insulin and oral diabetic drugs when you take certain mushrooms.